From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. It's no secret that Southwest Florida is under invasion. From Burmese pythons to black and white tegu lizards, knifefish to lionfish, melaleuca trees to coiling kudzu plants. This is undeniably a hot spot for invasive species of plants, animals, and fish. Now wildlife conservation officials are enlisting the help of civilians through the use of apps to track these invaders. We'll learn more about that from the man who oversees South Florida's invasive species program. Plus, soldiers returning from war can feel alone or misunderstood, and some are suffering from the invisible wounds of war, PTSD, or traumatic brain injuries. A local program presents fitness challenges to reinvigorate veterans, while at the same time creating a social network that has the potential to save vets from developing PTSD. We talk with the director of Home Base about a 5K and 10K run happening this weekend to bring these men and women together. But first, the news. Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. Coming back from a war after seeing death, living in fear of bombings, and sometimes losing a friend who fought by your side is traumatic for the strongest of soldiers anywhere. But what happens after they get home can make a pivotal difference in how our veterans move forward in their lives. According to the National Center for Post-Traumatic Stress Disorders, or PTSDs, stress can make PTSDs more likely, while social support can make it less likely. Today, we're talking with a Marine Corps veteran who is the program manager for Home Base Southwest Florida, an organization that's helping to provide that support, Armando Hernandez. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Also with us today is veteran Carter Elliott, also a veteran of the Marine Corps who has gone through the organization's Warrior Health and Fitness Program not once, but twice. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We are talking about how local grassroots organizations are becoming a social sanctuary for veterans returning from war or dealing with an invisible wound. You can become part of the conversation, too, by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or you can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Armando, tell me about your service in the Marine Corps and what it was like when you got back home after you left the military.
Sure. So I was born and raised here in Southwest Florida. Went to the Marine Corps 2003 to 2007. I only did one deployment to Iraq in 2005. But when I came back, I moved back here to Southwest Florida, and things were different. My friends and family had taken a lot of steps and moved on in 4 years' time, and that was just one enlistment. Some guys are coming back after two or three, so that can only be amplified. But I just tried to get back into everything that I, thought I was supposed to do, school, work, all those things. But it's not the same. It's hard to do. Nobody prepares you. You spend a lot of time in the military preparing for that kind of lifestyle. And then as you get out, especially in the era in which I did in the earlier 2000s, there was a lot less for us. So, it took a little time to get used to it and kind of figure out my role back here in civilian life and how I could continue to contribute back here in my own community, because that was a big part of it, and to gain some social support as well.
After what you went through and what you saw, and then you come back here to everything just being kind of normal, and then what had changed? This didn't change, but what you had gone through had changed you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I also, like a lot of others, served at a very crucial point in my life. I was 18 to 22 years old, and that's when a lot of, boys become men, regardless of any situation that you're in. But when you're in the Marine Corps and you're deploying, to combat situations, that happens very fast. And then you come home and you're trying to figure out, now that you're no longer a boy and you no longer live with your parents and, you're not, obligated to wake up and go to school every morning, what do you do now? So that it was different in that aspect, I guess.
That is a really strange transition to a time of transition in any person's life.
But exactly.
Then having that transition happen there with that going on, it's not the easiest place to be.
Correct.
Either.
And you can imagine if you did two enlistments or three enlistments and, you're coming back after 8 years or 10 years or 12 years and, you're dealing with these same issues.
Carter, tell me about your experience. Did you kind of have the same type of an experience when you came back?
Yeah, mine was a little bit different in the sense that I didn't go back to where I was raised. I was raised in New England. I pursued a piloting program through my GI Bill initially, and then I ended up here in Naples for the long term.
Okay, so you came down here, but you didn't have family here?
I have a little bit of family here, but I didn't really have a social network or anything like that. It was basically good climate and where I want to raise a family.
Yeah. So, well, how did you feel? I mean, how did it feel when you got here and things were supposed to be normal? Did it feel normal?
I don't think it was normal, but I don't think it was abnormal because I didn't know any different. I just knew it was a struggle. And I, you know, and
a lot of us aren't sure what normal is.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, that's hard to define.
Right. And I think personally for my family, it was, there was something missing, and it took a little bit of time to really figure out, you know, why do I feel so out of place, or what is out of place? Why aren't things feeling homey and whole and, you know, triumphant like you, we had hoped, you know, what was missing? And I think that's when you get – that's one of the hard adjustments, is not being around any veterans all of a sudden really was – impacted my life more than I certainly had ever prepared for or been told. You know, the struggle was more significant than I had certainly anticipated.
I think there are things in life that it's just almost impossible to prepare for. So coming back – so that's why home base becomes kind of an important place for people. Tell me a little bit about the home base program.
Sure. So home base is a nonprofit organization that is a partnership between the Red Sox Foundation and Massachusetts General Hospital. And we're dedicated to helping heal the invisible wounds, specifically post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and all the things that are kind of associated with that for post-9/11 service members, veterans, and their families. You know, and so we do that through a wide range of things. You know, we have, you know, clinical programs. We have wellness and fitness-based initiatives like Carter's been a part of. And then we have, you know, some social-based programs, as well as we do community education and research as well. So we do that mission through a number of different initiatives.
So people coming to you, some have PTSD. Some people have traumatic brain injuries or these invisible wounds that you're talking about. But then also some are just regular veterans looking for like-minded people to hang out with.
Right. And some – you know, some may not have the diagnosis of a post-traumatic stress disorder, but they may be feeling one of those associated symptoms. They may be feeling that social anxiety or the depression or there's a co-occurring substance abuse issue going on there. So, you know, not just veterans who are, you know, have post-traumatic stress, but maybe dealing with some of those similar symptoms. And for our fitness program, it's not specific to, you know, post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury at all. That's really just focused on getting the veteran, regardless of their, you know, mental health status. We're focused on getting them as physically as healthy as we can be. And then from there, we hope that there will be some mental carryover, right? Because if you're exercising and you're eating right, and in turn, you're probably sleeping better. And, you know, once you're doing all those things and you're feeling better about yourself, you know, those mental battles every day become a little easier to deal with. And that's what we're seeing. So that's the real focus of the fitness program.
Yeah, and I was reading about how that kind of a support system and having a bit of a physical purpose and physical fitness can kind of help people maybe avoid developing. I mean, when you first get back, it's going to be tough. Things are just different. But from what I was reading, it seems like post-traumatic stress disorder is defined as more than a few months after returning, then continuing to have problems and having a difficulty getting over it or having difficulty, you know, functioning because you can't stop thinking about things or different types of symptoms, and then that bleeding over into substance abuse. So I guess what I'm saying is it's interesting that you have this going on for people, that they can get physically fit, which is kind of a big part of being in the military anyway.
Right.
And then they get to be around other vets, which I also hear that vets kind of understand other vets better than anybody else does.
That's true. Yeah. So the program offers them a chance to, you know, we all veterans can relate to fitness and being healthy at least at one point. So that's what, you know, the main attractiveness of the program is we're really going to focus on your physical fitness. But the great side effects of that is, yeah, you're going to meet some friends while you're doing this. And these are going to be friends with similar backgrounds. Similar goals, obviously, to get back into shape or to maintain their fitness levels. And you know, that's the best part of this program, is you're going to really build that camaraderie. And the other part about it, too, is, you know, if a veteran needs a higher level of care, you know, home base has a program called the Intensive Clinical Program, where we can get them up to Boston. They do about a year's worth of therapy in 14 days with the Mass General psychiatric clinicians up there, who are, you know, some of the best in the country. So we can get them to that. So if a veteran is, you know, now, you know, perhaps skeptical about getting some type of help, but joins this fitness program because, he or she really wants to, you know, focus on physical fitness. But now they gain the social support, and now they've met a veteran who's been to this program, and you know they learn to trust the staff. All of a sudden, we're seeing that people are willing to take that next step and get that next level of care. And if it's the intensive clinical program in Boston, then we'll get them there. And if it's some more local care, you know, here, the VA or the vet centers, then we'll connect them with our representatives who we work with over there and make sure that they're getting care here locally.
Well, sometimes people kind of go on autopilot and they don't think that there's a problem. They think they're just fine. But then they think they want to get fit and then they start kind of talking and maybe they might identify something
Absolutely.
A little bit more going on.
Absolutely.
Now, you had the experience of going through this physical fitness program a couple times.
Yes.
Carter, how did you like it?
Well, for me personally, the physical change was great. I slept, you know, significantly better. But I thought some of the longer lasting impacts that I didn't expect were the bonds and the friendships and some of the camaraderie that I had missed kind of came back. And I really enjoyed just coming, not just for the workout, but some of the socializing and you know, the friendships and the, you know, making fun of each other. But we're in the kind of the military way of giving each other a hard time, but we're also pushing each other and supporting each other. And that really was gratifying for me, and I didn't expect any of that to happen.
And being from another place and coming to a new place, it's hard to make friends anyway.
Correct. And that was a great avenue for that, you know, just relationships in general.
Maybe just getting competitive too, perhaps.
True.
That's ingrained in our population for sure.
That's ingrained. Look at you both grinning from ear to ear. Yeah, we're a little bit, maybe, perhaps, just a smidge competitive.
Yeah, and it's, you know, this program helps, you know, find those friendships. I think veterans have a natural bond when we get around each other. We all like all of each other. The thing is, you know, only a half of 1% serve. So when you come home and you're one of 199 others, then it's hard to find that other person, especially in our generation where, you know, we're a little bit less social and you know.
Well, we're looking at screens all the time.
Yeah, we're looking at screens and you know, we're living inside a little bit more. And then, you know, on top of the issues that, you know, are associated with post-traumatic stress, like social anxiety and depression and not wanting to come out. So there's a lot that is facing this population. So this program really offers them the way to meet a lot of people, like I said, with similar backgrounds and similar goals.
We are talking about veterans, the home-based program in Southwest Florida, and the local support systems that are in place to help ease the soldiers back into civilian life. Are you a veteran? Give us a call and tell us your experiences at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or you can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Physical injuries from a war can be pretty obvious, and they're treated through the VA. Is the same the case for invisible injuries like post-traumatic stress disorder? Does the VA address these things in the same way?
I think the VA is doing a good job of that. Yeah, I think as far as their methodology and their approach, obviously I think we all know the VA is overwhelmed. This is an issue that is not easy, and I don't think we can expect any one entity to handle it.
Yeah, no, I don't think that either. But I mean, do you think it's harder for people to get attention paid when it's something like PTSD as opposed to an overt physical injury?
I don't think in today's world it is. I think that the –
You think that's changed
maybe
recently?
I think it has changed. Yeah, I think it has changed. And I think, you know, the stigma is going away and it should be. And that's a good thing because, you know, we're a population that is not going to tell you when something's wrong. We're a population that's used to bearing the load and moving on regardless of the situation. So I think it's good that the stigma is going away. And I think that, you know, it's being recognized by not only – the medical community, but the community as a whole as a serious injury, and that's exactly what it is.
Carter, how do you think that veterans and soldiers view PTSD?
I think because, as Armando said, we're trained to just move on and deal with it and continue, you know, moving forward. That you're embarrassed, I think, oftentimes because you feel like you're weak. And you're not supposed to be weak, right? You're supposed to just suck it up and make the best of it and keep going. So I think there's a little bit of embarrassment maybe sometimes because, again, you're not as strong or, you know, we're very proud and it's hard to ask for that help. So I think the majority of veterans view it as something that, you know, isn't me, or what I what I'm about. I'm tougher, or I can withstand more than that. And that's not always the case. You know, it's oftentimes, you know, hard to ask for help, but when, I think it really it's something to get help for, and it's a real issue.
I think it's hard for anybody to ask for help for anything. But then when I think about a soldier, I mean, the phrase is soldier on, you know?
Right.
That doesn't mean take time to think about yourself and take time to take care of your and I think it would be maybe like a personal thing. But I think societally and as a group, perhaps, that they're trying to get that stigma to go away. But it's still something personally that might be difficult to overcome.
Well, I think one of the best things, you know, we can do is really educate ourselves, you know, not only the veterans but the family members to see these things, because, you know, when you live with this mentality of drive on and move on regardless of what the mission the mission requires, you get it done. Sometimes it's hard to step back and look at the big picture. You're fighting every day. You feel like you're fighting in the trenches battles, and it's hard to step back and look at the big picture. And then somebody to you know, put it in front of you and say, hey, you know, these are things that are going on in your life as a whole. This is what, you know, certain issues that, you know, you may be dealing with, and to really to see it all come together and to educate yourself on, I think, is one of the best things you can do. I would encourage people to go to homebase.org and look at some of the programs we have. We offer programs for the community, medical professionals, first responders. We offer them education, because if you can spot these things and you can, you know, self-awareness is much, much harder achieved than I think anybody really gives it credit for. So for you to step back and say, hey, I think that this might be going on, is much more difficult than others. So sometimes it takes that support outside to help and really having an understanding of the process.
That's interesting what you said, that PTSD, it's almost like you're still in the trenches every day, even though you're in Naples or Fort Myers or Cape Coral, or you're not still fighting, but you are kind of fighting a war inside.
Yeah, and you're trying not to let that war inside, you know, affect your work, affect your family, affect your school, affect these other things. So, you know, the fight is making it through everyday life without letting these things affect you. And you can do it. You know, you can tell yourself, I can wake up and I can do this 12 hours and I cannot let it affect me. But after a few years, after a few months, it can catch up to you. So it's tough. Yeah.
That's why support groups like this kind of a group, and I don't want to call it a support, but it is. You guys support each other.
Absolutely.
These types of groups.
We're friends.
We have a phone call coming in from Charlotte, who's in Fort Myers. Charlotte, what would you like to say?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good.
Good. Yeah, I just had a question. I'm a Coast Guard veteran. I just relocated to Fort Myers. I was counter narcotics, and also, I deal a lot with the cartels and stuff, so I've been diagnosed with PTSD recently. I didn't know if you guys had quite a few more, other female veterans.
That's a great question.
Around our age group.
That is a great question. And what kind of people are there? Do you have men and women? Do you have different age groups?
No, absolutely, we do. I mean, I think our program is actually – so I think if you look at the numbers, if I'm not mistaken, about 14% of the population is female in the military. If you look at the number of our program, I think about 40% of the people in our program, our fitness program, are female veterans. So we definitely have them, and our age group ranges from – you know, some guys who are 19 and they're still in the reserve and we're working with them, or 22 just straight out of the Marine Corps. And we have people that are, retired and they're in their, you know, late 40s, early 50s, and we're working with them. And the other thing is we have people who are all across the spectrum of injury rates, from backs to knees to ankles to all these other things. So we really work with a wide variety of the population, from age to gender to pre-existing injury. We have a wide group.
And if you're interested in finding out more about it, we have links to their website on WGCUnews.org. So it's pretty easy to get to. Go to the Gulf Coast Live tab, and we will have links to the home base organization. You could check out everything that they have on offer. And also, this weekend, you have an event coming up.
We do. We have the inaugural Run to Home Base Florida. It's mirrored off of an event that we do up in Boston at Fenway, where you start on, at the park. We're doing it here at, you know, Fenway South, JetBlue Park. We're going to start at the park. It's going to be a 1 mile walk, a 5K or a 10K option, so you can do any of them. But you finish by coming through the center field, going down the warning track, and coming down third base line, and you touch home plate, and that's how you conclude it. So it's a pretty cool event. And then we're going to have a little after party there in the third base concourse. We'll have music. We'll have food. You know, we're really hoping to just bring families out and spread the awareness and talk about that. It's presented by Florida Community Bank, and they have been absolutely awesome in helping us put this together and bring it to the community. So specifically Kent Ellert and his team have been amazing in making this a possibility. So we're really excited. Again, we've done this up in Boston for a few years now. It's been really successful, and we plan on doing this year after year down here as well.
The weather's a lot better down here.
Yeah, the weather's a little better right here. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, come out and join us. JetBlue Park. Ceremony starts at 9:30. Race starts at 10 a.m.
9:30, 10 a.m., and then after the race, everybody gets to visit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're all going to hang out. We're going to have music, food, and the whole
night. This is for veterans and families of veterans, too?
Yeah, veterans and families. Well, Homebase is not only treats the veteran, but they treat the family as well, because the families are the ones who are also seeing a lot of these effects. And we talked about having that social support and that you know, sometimes it's the mom who calls us, or it's the spouse who calls us, you know. So it's important to be able to help them as well. So we're very family-oriented.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a little bit about vets hanging out with vets. And Carter, I want to ask you this. There's the draw of the physical activity thing. But you could just go to a gym. Is it better to be not at a gym with somebody who has no idea what you've already gone through?
Yeah, I think it's a different way of communicating. And not just, you know, we're all very prideful, and we've all been pushed to our physical limits at one point or another. And we know how to communicate. And I think when you're being trained by another veteran and training with other veterans, I think there's that camaraderie, but there's also the ability to say, hey, you know, push through this, suck it up, you got it, you can do it, right? When you're at a gym just working out, some random person's not going to offer you any encouragement. And if they do, you're probably going to –
they might spot you maybe, but that's it.
Right. And you're going to be like, what the heck is this person telling me to push through it for, right? Yeah. But when it's one of us in this situation, it's useful and it's powerful. And you know, we all, you know, work together to achieve whatever goal that is. And you have basically unlimited support during that workout time. And I think that's something that a gym can offer.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. The difference in the style of working out is going to be different.
Correct.
I mean, I'm guessing you don't do Zumba.
No. So we have a certified strength conditioning specialist on staff. I am a certified strength conditioning specialist as well, but we have another gentleman named Jaime Fernandez who's also a Marine veteran. He oversees all of our fitness programs. So he designs, oversees, and supervises all these workouts for the veterans. So he designs them based on, you know, if – you're just getting off the couch for the first time in 10 years, you know, you might be doing a little bit more of a walking program and starting out that way. But if you're just coming out of the Marine Corps or, you know, Ranger Battalion, he's going to be having you doing stuff at a higher level. And, you know, his education allows him to do that. He's worked with, you know, the geriatric population all the way to elite level baseball players. So he's got a good background in what he does. And he helps us kind of personalize those workouts for everybody.
Do you think a non-veteran could handle it, this kind of workout?
I think they could. I think, again, we scale it to your ability without letting you slack on it. So we would make sure that it was within your reach and it wasn't just the mental side that was breaking down. If it's the physical that's starting to bother you, then, you know, we'll cut back. But, you know, we need to make sure that it's not just the mental side of it. So
I think stylistically, it's really interesting how different that would be and how that will speak to veterans who may feel like they're just not being understood by other people. And it would be weird at the gym if somebody started acting like a military trainer next to you.
Yeah.
All right. So again, the race this weekend is on Saturday.
Correct. Saturday.
And information about that you can all find on our website at wgcunews.org. We will have links to all of that. And I want to thank you not only for coming in today, but also for your service.
Thank you very much for having you and all your workout mates and all
of your friends and everybody else that goes to the race this weekend. We'll have to leave it there today. Thanks for coming in, Armando Hernandez and Carter Elliott. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chinqui, with technical help from AJ Leonard. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.